Imagine this, 2,250 miles, the Twin Cities in Minnesota, to the Hudson Bay near the Arctic Ocean, in a canoe, in 49 days. That incredible journey is one that Sean Bloomfield and Colton Witte will surely talk about for years. The two Minnesota teenagers graduated early from high school to embark on the adventure. They were inspired by the book Canoeing with the Cree by Eric Severide. The newsman and a friend had paddled the same route back in 1930. Sean Bloomfield and Colton Witte are back in the Twin Cities now, and I asked them how they first came across that book.
This is Sean. My dad actually gave me the book in seventh grade. He gave it to his dad, and once he died, my dad got it back, and then he showed it to me. And we'd been paddling since about fourth grade with our families. And so I read the book, and I showed it to Colton, and we just decided we were going to do it.
What'd your parents think about that idea?
They pretty much said, yeah, right.
Which, of course, made you want to do it even more, probably.
Exactly. Definitely. The people that have doubted us were definitely a big motivation.
Now, this route that you traveled, it took you up the Minnesota River, across lakes, through wilderness, and finally up to the Hudson Bay in Manitoba. You did this in early spring, some might even say late winter in that part of the world.
Definitely.
What were some of your most memorable moments?
The most memorable one, my guess, this is Colton, by the way, would be the first time we saw the bay. It's impossible to put words to, but we just paddled from behind an island down at the end of the Hayes River and just saw the bay for the first time, and it was kind of foggy, so we couldn't see out real far. But we saw the bay and just stopped there and looked at the ocean for a good minute or two, and then hooped and hollered and congratulated each other and just said we can't believe that we made it this far.
It sounds like you met some incredible people all throughout your journey.
Definitely. When we were down in Minnesota, we'd see signs along the river just with like a phone number or just people saying congratulations that you've made it this far and wishing us the best of luck, but occasionally a phone number to call, and we'd call them and they'd come down to the river or whatever and bring us cookies or just sweets and stuff, because we basically we lived on our survival food. We didn't have snacks and didn't have sweets, any frivolous items. It was just stuff to get by. So
now,
people would come
wait
down.
Wait a minute, you said stuff to get by, but I understand that you actually ordered 4 pizzas before you left Winnipeg?
Yeah.
We ate it all cold, though. We for breakfast, we'd have a piece or a piece and a half and just cold. But after about a week and a half, mold started to grow on it. So we had to start picking the mold off and just eating more of that so that we ran out quicker.
So you didn't chuck the pizza once the mold showed up. You just tried to chuck the mold.
No. You're so hungry that mold really doesn't bother you that much as if you just pick it off. And when we got our occasional sweets like cookies, we would literally, if crumbs fell from it onto the tent floor, which was really dirty, we didn't matter. We'd still pick up the crumbs and fight for every last little piece.
So when you were actually, you started out, this was actually the beginning of the spring floods that have now moved south and spread throughout the country. You were actually paddling upstream through much of this. What was that like?
Tough. An analogy, this is Sean, an analogy that I used to a newspaper was that it's like running up a down escalator.
Yeah.
It's just you work as hard as you can for all day, and you look over at shore, and you're hardly moving at all. It's just, it's frustrating, but you know that if you keep doing it, eventually you'll get past it.
Yeah, it just takes the perseverance to know that you just got to work 100%. If you didn't try 100% too, you wouldn't go anywhere. If you stopped for a second, you go backwards, and if you didn't give 100%, you just would sit there.
If you stopped for a second, you'd go backwards? The current
Definitely.
Was that
we
strong?
Paddled.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We were right at about peak flow, so couldn't have been harder.
Even on the first day, there was some snow flurries.
Now, at any point, did either of you feel like giving up?
The first week was rough. I had food poisoning already in the first week and spent a night in the hospital and considered quitting, but thought about it, and it really was never actually an option, just because my desire to prove everyone wrong that said that we couldn't do it, and knowing that I'd regret quitting anyways.
And then in the last week, it was there were some pretty trying times, but by that time, you've gone so far, there's no way that you're going to quit then. And even if we wanted to
quit,
there was no way to quit. There was nobody there.
We were committed.
To let us go anyways, so in the end, we're both extremely glad we wound up going and going through the whole thing.
Definitely.
Well, Sean Bloomfield and Colton Witte, they're just back from a 2,200-mile canoe trip from the Twin Cities to the Hudson Bay near the Arctic Ocean. Congratulations to both of you. Thanks for talking to us.
Yeah, thank you.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.